Hello, everybody. I'm Jacopo De Toni, and this is the FDI podcast. Today, I'm here with Harry Tilman, the founder and editor of China Investment Research, which has been tracking Chinese outbound investment since 2008 and focused much on the Belt and Road Initiative in recent years. Welcome back, Harry. The narrative around the Belt and Road Initiative has changed much over the past couple of years since the last time we spoke here at the FDI podcast. In a way, several countries on the receiving end of a big Chinese infrastructure investment realize that it's not always a win-win situation as Beijing has been trying to push for many years now. These projects, sometimes they do come with strings attached. First and foremost, it's a no-brainer with financial strings. So do you believe that countries around the world will be more cautious moving forward when it comes to embracing the win-win narrative of the Belt and Road Initiative?
Thank you, Jacopo. It's nice to be back again. And you're absolutely right. Things have changed in the past couple of years. The first thing that's changed is that at the Belt and Road Forum in April of this year, President Xi and China have listened to lots of these messages or queries being raised. So there are a series of decisions taken to address these issues. Yes, for example, more education involved before someone takes a loan.
Yep.
That's just one example. But there's also a lot of noise around this, which I tend to want to take away from people that they start looking at numbers. So when people start talking about debt burdens or debt traps, Rhodium, which is one of our competitors, did an analysis they published at the second BRF forum of looking at $50 billion of debt along the BRI, and that have been restructured, looked at or restructured, if you will, only one charge off. So in all those 5 years, the only one charge off, as you well know, is in Sri Lanka.
Right.
But these have all been restructured. So yeah. My career is 30 years in wholesale banking. I've sat on three major banks' credit committees. So restructurings are not unusual in the banking world.
Yep.
But Beijing's very keen to get these messages through. Think carefully before you take the debt on. Think carefully, yes, about doability of when the cash flows come through. So they have begun to address this. But again, let's make it clear, in all this period of time, and the official number is $900 billion, it could be even bigger than that. You're talking about one loan where they've taken control of the assets.
Right. But still, obviously, there are other countries that are trying to restructure their loans attached to BRI projects. For example, Malaysia was a big case. They restructured this, where they're trying to restructure the costs attached to this big railway project. The Maldives is another country that is facing this kind of debt trap related to Chinese investment. But countries like the Maldives and Sri Lanka, in a way, face this sort of dilemma because they need infrastructure, and not necessarily very many people are willing to finance their infrastructure development. And China, in the narrative of the Belt and Road Initiative, was keen to finance this, to back this development. On the other hand, obviously, they are small economies, small countries, and their capacity to service this debt is more limited. And actually, I know for sure that some of these countries, they are trying to change, in a way, the nature of Belt and Road projects. They would like to see Chinese companies more involved in FDI project, pure foreign direct investment project. They would like Chinese companies to take on the risks of this project, as opposed to typical BRI projects where China Development Bank puts in the money, but then the host country has to give sovereign guarantees, and so eventually becomes a sovereign debt. Do you see this happening more and more in the future?
Yes, that's a great question. There's the other side of that argument as well, because in essence, if you look at some of these case studies, which we've done one on Cambodia over an 8-year period of Cambodia being rebuilt, of Oman, which we've not published yet, but Cambodia has been published. And then last year, the government issued one in Laos, where this is all. So in essence, China's taken the risk of the 2% returns and the 5% returns. But what's interesting in the case of Cambodia or the case of Oman is the returns, once it gets into the 15 to 20% returns, manufacturing, consumer goods, tourism, the bulk of that upside has actually come not from Chinese corporates. It's come from Japan, Korea, Singapore, France, Canada, in the case of Cambodia, and in the case of Oman, there's much greater investment in Oman from Saudi, Qatar, UAE, India, et cetera, and Japan. Right. And the same is true in Pakistan.
Right.
So you think of the everyone sort of recoils with this big number of debt in Pakistan, but actually in the last 6 months, $40 billion of equity has been pledged in Pakistan. Yes, and less than $2 billion of that's Chinese.
So what is still missing for Chinese companies to actually see the opportunity on the ground from a private investment perspective and, you know, actually start identifying profitable projects and come in as a pure foreign direct investment?
Good. That's another good question. So that's another component which people haven't started focusing on yet called SEZs. Yes. And to show how these have grown quickly, there are now 82 SEZs along the Belt and Road.
So special economic zones.
Special economic zones that are linked between China and links between the local countries. Mm-hmm. To show you how these have grown, there were only 13 of these in 2015, 17 in 2016, and now 82 in 2019. And some of these are enormous. Yes, for example, in the Tangier port off Morocco. Yes, that's going to be a $10 billion special economic zone, $1 billion of which will be, and it's Chinese. $10 billion.
Yeah, yes. So there are big projects in Serbia, Belarus, just like to name a few.
Well done. Those are the two major ones in Europe.
Yeah.
So we look at Ethiopia. So many countries are looking at this. It's the next stage of the Belt and Road, and it's done to the special economic zones,
right,
which all of which have special characteristics for each one. For example, Abu Dhabi is part of the Chinese part of the big economic zone. In Abu Dhabi, you get special flights with special deals with Etihad, for example. So it's the next. It's that. So you're talking about Belt and Road 101. There's a digital Silk Road that's associated with all these, with tech hubs.
Right.
Over 60 of these tech hubs now. And there are now 82, if you will, SEZs. All are part, integral part of the Belt and Road, but people are still focused on, as you say, the infrastructure and energy that and moving towards manufacturing.
So in a way, it tells us that the characteristics of the Belt and Road Initiative are already evolving and developing as some of these, I wouldn't say criticism, but some of these challenges are being incorporated and addressed by Chinese authorities, right?
I think it was very constructive. I think that President Xi and the, and I don't want to speak out of turn, but I mean, Sir Douglas Flint, who I think has done a great job for us here in the UK with the government, has basically described the Belt and Road Forum as President Xi picking up these issues and just thumping everyone on the head.
And to be fair, your investment research, China investment research, also teamed up with the United Nations to analyze the financial performance of a number of selected BRI projects. And as far as I'm aware, the results were fairly encouraging from the fact that many of the projects that you analyzed actually delivered.
Interesting
performance.
It was thank you very much for the. It was interesting because we didn't get to choose those projects. The United Nations chose those projects,
which were the Piraeus port in Greece, for example, a logistic project in Duisburg, Germany, a tunnel in Uzbekistan. So also the variety of the project was very, very wide in a way.
And so we would score those because we'd look at these things from financial returns point of view, and they, for the first time, because they're the United Nations, had us overlay the SDG criteria on this. Right. It was the first time ever to do financial returns and SDG overlay. Yep. And you're correct that of the 30 possible outcomes, 21 were positive. Sort of five-ish were still to be developed, and some of those were not so positive.
Yeah.
And part of that is also timing issues. For example, one of those projects is the stock exchange in Bangladesh. That's just going to take a period of time before that opens up to Chinese foreign investors. But for now, rating that project now is not, the returns have not been great.
Okay, Harry, a very last question. Obviously, we cannot talk about BRI in China without mentioning this trade feud between China and the U.S., which is inevitably affecting trade and investment in and out of China. Also, along Belt and Road countries, I was recently in Central Asia, And I met representatives of telecom suppliers other than Huawei, because governments in those regions are looking for alternatives to Huawei 5G equipment, which is at the moment by far and large the most advanced over any other competitor, Nokia, Cisco, Ericsson, you name it. But still, there is several countries are trying to adjust, following in the footsteps or in the line drawn by the White House with regard to this specific issue. So how do you think this trade dispute is going to affect the Belt and Road Initiative?
I think it's a much bigger issue. I think you've touched on something what I consider to be a much bigger issue. We have a study that tracks all financial technology development from 1960 through today. In essence, China missed the third industrial revolution. It was from 1960 to roughly 2000, which America led. So America has all that data from 1960 to 2000, which China doesn't have.
Right.
So China's a latecomer. So those are four major cloud capabilities, 40 years head start the USA has over China, which has much smaller cloud competitors. Huawei's capabilities of 5G is years ahead of this other technology. So by using Huawei technology the next few years, it helps close that gap between the US cloud and the Chinese cloud. Now, why is that important? AI, autonomous AI. Yes, because currently, with that 40-year head start on data for cloud, it gives the US a huge competitive advantage to build autonomous AI, which China doesn't have. So the more you block Huawei, yes, or slow Huawei, if anything, slow it, then that you maintain that distance for, if you will, competitive advantage for driverless cars or what you do for fridges. So it's a much bigger issue.
Right.
If you look closely at the trade battle, it's not going to go away anytime soon, it is that massive gap. Because in essence, that trade, it's a 40-year head start. They don't want to lose it.
Harry Tillman, founder and editor of China Investment Research. Harry, where can people follow your research?
ChinaInvestmentResearch.org. Just follow. We put as much on there where people can actually stay up on some of this. What I just told you is not on the website, but you could follow that website or contact us via that website.
And very many quarterly bulletins, BRI polls, very interesting and insightful material on your website. Thank you very much for being with us again, Harry. Thanks, everybody, for listening. You can follow all our podcasts on fdiintelligence.com/podcast, Acast, and iTunes. Stay tuned until the next time.
Thanks.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.